Today we conclude our stewardship series, Do Not Grow Weary. The series is based on a passage from Philippians where the Apostle Paul encourages us not to grow weary, for in due time we will receive a rich harvest if we do not give up. And so those are important words for us to hear, especially during this stewardship season. They have been for me, especially during this pandemic, to not grow weary in all that we are doing to help others. The sermon this morning, this final sermon in the series, is entitled To Give or To Get. And the passage for this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20. It's a lengthy reading, verses 17 to 38, but note at the end of this reading, the disciples that are with the Apostle Paul, the followers of Jesus, they embrace Paul, they greet him with both tears and kisses and hugs because they believe this is the very last time that they will see him. And so in these words, he quotes Jesus and gives us a very important summary of the Christian life. Listen and see if you hear it. Let us give our attention now to the reading and the hearing of God's word. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus. This is the Apostle Paul, asking the elders of the church to meet him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house. As I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are awaiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that some of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see my face again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. So keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. And now I commend to you God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. You know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, for he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. Then they brought him to the ship. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, as the Apostle Paul entered that ship, not knowing what he would encounter next, He reminded his disciples of an important truth that we seek to explore today, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Oh Lord, make that truth be a part of our lives, and we know that you will do that, for we pray in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to tell a story this morning as I begin that many of you may be able to appreciate and identify with. There was a father who loved his son, and his son asked him for French fries. And so his father did what he usually did. He drove him to McDonald's through the drive-thru and got him an order of French fries. And as he drove away, those French fries, they smelled so good that the father couldn't stand it any longer. And he reached back in the family van, to his son's lap, and he grabbed a French fry and he ate it. Well, you can imagine the reaction of that son. No, 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 Dad, these are my French fries. You can't have them, they're mine. I bet you've experienced that at some point. Perhaps maybe even with an adult. Well, the father had to make a decision at that point. He had plenty of money. He could just drive back through the restaurant and pick up his own order of fries. He could order all the fries that he wanted. He could, and this has happened before, he could take the French fries away from his son and scold him to teach him a lesson. Father didn't do any of those things. He had given him those fries. He had bought those fries with his hard-earned money. He had taken his son to the restaurant. And what he really wanted to do in that exchange was to teach his son about sharing. Our text for this morning, for this sermon, comes from the book of Acts, where Paul, toward the end of his life, shared a speech, an important speech, a sharing with his friends. And he said to them, remember how Jesus himself said it? It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's how Paul summed up the Christian life, using Jesus' own words. They could be like that lesson from the Father to the Son about sharing. And perhaps that's the lesson that God wants us to learn today, to remember. The New English Bible in this passage, it translates it this way: happiness lives more in giving than in receiving. One modern translation just says it this way: don't be takers, be givers in life. You get the message this morning. Share your French fries with one another, right? Well, the question this morning, is it true that happiness lives more in giving than receiving, is it? What I'm going to suggest to you this morning on this Stewardship Dedication Sunday is that this verse is more than just a stewardship come on. It is a summary of the Christian life, the true summary of the good life that God wants to give us, the joyous life, the abundant life, the life God intends for you and me to have every day, a life of joy and a life of gratitude and giving. So the question comes, is there really more joy in giving than receiving? Is there? At first glance, you might say, no, there's really not, because many of us like to receive and like to get. Getting is fun. I'll get to getting in a moment. But try teaching this lesson on your children or grandchildren, especially as you begin shopping for Christmas presents. Tell that granddaughter of yours or the grandson or your child, we're going this year to not purchase very much, except those gifts we're going to give to others. That's a tough sell for a young child. A child has to learn the joy of sharing and of giving. Or try those words this morning, it's more blessed to give than receive. Try them in a consumer-oriented society in which we all live in. It's better to give than to get. The television really screams at us, doesn't it? When you watch television this afternoon, if you're watching one of those football games, notice when the commercial comes on, the volume goes up. Now on ours, the mute button goes on. And we visit, and I explain to my wife what's happening in the football game. And who these players are, and how they got transferred to one team to another, and who did or didn't get a shot, and so on and so forth. But then the game comes back on, and I'm more happy with that. But the volume goes up during commercials, does it not? The television screams at us to say purchasing makes us happy. Getting something new makes us happy. We are bombarded by such commercials. As a matter of fact, Robert Hutchinson, the college president, he has said it this way about our society in America. It is our tendency to buy things in America that we do not want or really need at prices we cannot afford, on terms we cannot meet, because of the advertising we do not believe. And that sums it up, doesn't it? Get ready, you're going to get a lot of that as we near Christmas. One author describes this purchasing of things we don't need as the good sin in standing in America. There is a story, I like this story, you would appreciate this, a story about a man who goes into a fishing store, a bait shop, and there is a sign that says, all the worms that you need for a dollar. And the man looks at the employee behind the desk and he says, I'll have $2 worth. That's the way we are. And Jesus' words, you see, about giving being greater than getting, they seem out of step in the world in which we live. But let me be quick this morning not to overstate the point. I did this a few years ago. Jesus was not saying, he does not say that there is no enjoyment in getting. There is enjoyment in getting. I preached a stewardship sermon about 6 years ago, and I remember noting not to do that particular sermon again because one woman came up. She was going that afternoon to shop for a couple of new dresses because she had a new job to go to on Monday morning. And she said, Pastor, after the sermon today, I cannot go to Dillard's because I just feel so bad about going and getting anything for myself. That's not the point. There is joy in receiving. There is joy in getting. What Jesus said here is that there is more happiness. There is deeper joy, more lasting joy in giving. I know this is true. After all, on Sunday, most Sundays folks say about worship, we want to get something out of it, preacher. That's why we're here. And no matter how much we and as pastors and church leaders and church staff say that worship is about giving, it's about coming and not receiving, but giving glory and honor to God. That's what it's about. Even then, people will still stick to their guns and say, okay, but in the second place, I still want to get something out of it. I get that. And I'll say this to you this morning. I'm going to live off the glory of last Sunday's rainbow of love for a long time. And then next Sunday, I'll need to get that again in worship. I need worship every week. I need to receive it. And I need to give glory and honor to God. I get that. We need to get something from worship. But the prime purpose of it is to give glory and glorify God forever. So why is it happier to give than to get? Let me share very briefly with you. The first answer we can affirm this morning of why it is happier to give than to get is because Jesus says it is true. And that's good enough for me. How about you? Jesus says it's true. I have a Bible here this morning. It's a King James Bible, and you can also call it a red letter Bible because everything in it that Jesus says is in red letters. You've seen this before. I can't tell you how many people I meet nowadays who have no understanding of what a red letter Bible is. And this saying from Jesus about giving being better than receiving, it's red letter stuff. All of which is to say, you don't need to take a poll about it. You don't need to form a committee or a commission about it. You don't need to evaluate it. The conclusion, first and foremost, is this matter is a spiritual matter. Giving is more important than receiving. Jesus himself said the maximum happiness in life is found in giving. Secondly, note with me, it is happier, it is more blessed to give than to get, because giving, what it does, it takes us out of our own selves. It takes us out of ourselves. Does anyone doubt here this morning that getting out of yourself, out of your own skin, out of your own hands is the key to happiness? It is. Nothing is more grim than someone whose sole concentration is on themselves and themselves alone. Watching out for me and my only. There's an author who writes a series of books about a character called Edith. And in that series, he says about Edith several times, as he starts each book, he says, Edith was surrounded on the north and the south and the east and the west by who? By Edith. Edith was so selfish, it was suffocating and claustrophobic. Jesus said that if we are going to find ourselves, we first have to give ourselves away. Preoccupation with me and my and mine is boring. It's boring to ourselves and it's boring to others. And there is a parable in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus talked about a man who had plenty of possessions. And he said, what will I do? And he said, I will build bigger barns to put my possessions and all that I have in them. And that night he died. And the parable ends with talking about that night his soul was examined. It was taken from him. I have always enjoyed reading about Dave Thomas. One of my first jobs was working at a restaurant called Wendy's. And it was all the rage. It had just opened in Chattanooga, and all my friends would go down and work there. And we would finish football practice and shower and put on our Wendy's uniforms, and we were all the rage. People could see us in our Wendy's uniforms at high school. I thought it was great. And on top of all of that, we got free food when we were there. Nowadays, they make employees pay for it. But Dave Thomas is the founder of Wendy's. And he spent many of his speeches that he gave talking about another man named Thomas, Danny Thomas. And he said, Danny Thomas, the comedian, you remember him, he started St. Jude's Hospital for Children. And he once said about Danny Thomas, he said, Danny Thomas gave himself to others, and he taught others how to give of themselves as well, and to forget their selfish side and be generous. And then he would go on and he would say in his speeches, let some good cause be bigger than you and let it take over your life. And then he would say to his audience, what is your St. Jude? What's important to you? Friends, I hope it's this church and the cause of Jesus Christ that we're called to serve here and through. Like many of you, I was raised with the understanding that I am called to return a portion of all that God has blessed me with. All of it came from God, and all of it will return to Him. And there is nothing unreasonable about that biblical understanding that to whom much is given, much is required. And every person in this room this morning is rich. I want to tell you that the spirit of generosity is alive and well in this church. To date, this church is over 100% in its pledges. People are keeping their commitments. Last year, we went through a pandemic. And judging on last year, we guesstimated that we would have $100,000 in undesignated giving. To date, you would expect after three quarters, that number would be something like 75,000. But to date, after three quarters, that number is over 125,000. 125,000. It's exceeded what we expected. This church is alive and well with people who are generous. And I would say to you, don't give up. Do not grow weary. For in time we will reap a harvest. We have challenges ahead of us in the coming year. In January, after 14 years, our business administrator, Chris Hurst, will retire. You already know our bookkeeper, Linda O'Leary. After nearly 13 years, she retired in October. You know from last Sunday, we now are looking for an associate director of music and organist. We also are in need of a director for children's ministry, and we are in need of a director for our before and after program. And I'll say this to you, every staff member here at this church is working harder than they ever have because there are less hands to do that which is needed to be done. And that's true especially for the need of volunteers in all areas of the church life. Not only are our offerings are needed, our gifts, our pledges, but our time and our talents. Third, giving is happier than getting because it helps others. And we know that. There is just more joy in giving when we realize that we have lent a hand to another. I have heard so much sheer enthusiasm here over the years at Northwood for when there has been an occasion for people to give to a cause. I almost took out the annual reports this week and tried to tally up all of the blankets alone we've given to Bethel. It would be in the thousands over the years. But there is sheer enthusiasm in giving, in sharing. Imagine the delight in your own lives with those that you love and those that you know, your family and friends, the joy they have when they receive the gift of yourself, the gift of your time, the gift of your money, the gift of your love and your sacrifice. It means the world to them. And so let me give you one more last crowning reason this morning why givers are happier than getters. And it is this. Because when you give, you are really exhibiting the very character and the very nature of God Himself. Because God is a prodigal giver. God has given us the air that we breathe, our bodies, our families, our friends, this whole earth. All that we have belongs to a loving God who has extravagantly given all of this to us. And God loves to shower us with extravagant wonders. But it does not stop there. Because everybody knows in the Bible, one of the favorite verses is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, God gave. God gave His only Son. But it doesn't stop there. Because in the life of Jesus Himself, we see the nature of God still giving through Jesus. No greater love has anyone that He laid down His life, He give His life for others, which is what Jesus did. And the reason we experience joy in giving is because it is very close. It is the very heart of God. And so this morning, as we dedicate our gifts for the coming year, for 2022, and I encourage you to do that using the giving stations and mailing your pledge cards to the church, if not this week and the coming weeks. Because as we do so, we want to continue here in our ministry to teach children and youth. We want to grow in our faith as adults in education and through worship. And we want to reach out to the least of these and those in this community and world who are in need. Because God has told us His very heart that it is more blessed to give than receive. I invite you during these next few moments to please stand and do so in an act of rededication of your life to God. Do it now if you'd like to stand. We invite our guests to please stand and join us. And as we do so, I offer this prayer of dedication this Sunday. Let us pray. O God and Father of us all, remind us of your very heart, that we are happier when we give. We have more joy when we give than when we receive. Oh Lord, we confess that there are many times we are just simply takers. Help us in the coming year and the days that follow to be givers. May we be your ambassadors, your spokespeople, with our money, with our times, our time that we have and our talents. We do all this. We dedicate it today in the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.